hurt somebody's feelings.
But guess what? If it's in the Bible, it should be taught. Amen? If it's in the Bible, it should be preached. Amen? If it's in the Bible, it's true. Amen? If it's in the Bible, we got to tell it whether we're afraid we'll hurt somebody's feelings or not. Whether we're going to get them to run away from us and what we're trying to accomplish or not. Whether we want them to be snowed over by the world as it tries to do right now. So, without further ado, y'all like that? I stretch my words a lot on that one. Without further ado, your title for today is this: A Voice from Hell. From where? You can't say that. Hey, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of preachers in churches today that is a taboo word for to come out of their mouth from the pulpit. That's a taboo word for their congregation sitting back there to hear,
isn't it? You got so many of them out there, they're just wanting numbers.
Number and number all. I got 50,000 people in my church. I don't know about you, but we don't have 50,000 people here. I don't know what to do with that many people.
But that's all they're worried about, isn't it? They don't care about the people. They care about the number of people. And the number of people that they can keep bringing back week after week. And how they do that is they skip the hard things that God tells us about. Like hell.
Because that's one that will turn somebody off. Oh, I ain't going back here talking about me. Oh, I ain't going down there. Satan got them alive. Satan got them snowed.
Got a wool pull over their eyes, don't he? Because if God says it's in the Bible, if God says we'll go to eternity in hell if we don't accept Him and have a relationship with Him, guess what?
That's true.
Somebody needs to know that whether we make them mad or not.
Amen.
But you got these unwritten rules in church. A lot of them, again, it's, oh, don't preach on that.
If you go speak at somebody's church, some of them might be like that, and they might be going, what are you going to speak on? What's your message on? What's your sermon on? Oh, never mind. We'll call somebody else. You can't come in this church and preach on hell.
Hey, there's churches like that, unfortunately. Amen?
Amen.
They want people to be happy. They want to keep them coming back. Amen?
They want to tickle their ear, but not their heart.
Amen?
They want them to feel good, but they don't want their soul to change to a true relationship with Jesus. Because if they did, they would tell them that part about the Bible being true too.
Amen? But a lot of churches don't talk about it, do they?
They don't even talk about politics.
They'll talk about money all day. Some of the generosity churches will talk about money all day long, all night long, and maybe into the next day.
But the last thing they'll talk about is hell. Hey, some of our favorite pastors that we watch on TV have switched away to that. And they don't preach about how they got saved, how they got turned around, how their life might have changed from a rock star to a pastor now. They don't talk about it anymore, because then they would have to bring up the word hell. And they're trying to appease their generosity congregations. So they don't talk about them, do they? So guess what?
You can save all your politics, all your money talk.
We're going to talk about hell. Everybody say hell.
Hell, hell.
Everybody in the comments watching online, type hell.
Because we know it's real, amen?
We have to be afraid.
It's okay for us to be afraid of something.
As long as it's truth from the Bible.
Amen?
And hell is a truth from the Bible that we should be afraid of. And of spending an eternity in it. Amen?
That's that word they used to say. Y'all remember this?
H-E double hockey sticks.
H-E double hockey sticks is the way they used to say it.
Or on a calculator.
How many of y'all knew you could spell hell on a calculator?
Amen.
How many of y'all had trouble in school for it?
7734.
Hell on a calculator.
But hell is a word that's thrown around all the time. Even the secular world talks about hell. Oh, you're going to hell.
It's a whole different world, though, isn't it?
They don't know what they're talking about. They don't really know what the consequences of going out of this world without knowing Jesus and truly going to hell is all about. Amen? So that's what we're going to talk about today. Some of them will say, tell them, hey, you're going to hell. We'll see you there. The world's going to hell in a handbasket. Some part of that is actually true now because Satan's taken over way more of the world than what we Christians are bothering fighting for. Amen? And that's because we got a bunch of them not telling about hell. Not telling about the truth. Amen? How many of y'all still drive in traffic and when you get cut off, what's the first thing you want to do? What the heck? How many of us still slip up every once in a while?
Amen.
We still throw some words out there, don't we? Hey, how many of y'all still basically say the word with your hand gestures when that happens? They cut you off in traffic and it's like, whereas before we got saved, there's been a lot of the blah, 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 that came out that was not good, and it may have mentioned hell quite a few times. Or somebody tries to get in front of us. And we're like, oh, hold up now. Hold up. I was in this line. How many of y'all ever been in the line of the store? And somebody cuts in front of us. How many of y'all ever been in a grocery store? Or not a grocery store, but like a restaurant. Like a fast food restaurant. You stand there in line. Somebody cuts in front of you. Y'all, our old world self does what? What the heck are you doing? Sometimes it still slips out though, don't it? That other word. You ain't getting in front of me. Hey, I had somebody cut in front of me in line the other day, and I was just sitting there going, what in the world? It's like, you know they can see us. I mean, especially me, I'm not the smallest person in the world. You know you can see you standing in line, but they still just walk right in front of you. And a lot of us still want to go to that carnal side, don't we? Smack them upside the head. What the heck are you doing? What's the easy devil hockey sticks you doing? Amen? So today, here's the fun part. We're going to try to understand hell. And I got a question for you. Why would a loving God send people to hell? Why would a loving God send us to hell? God is love, isn't He? Yep. God is love in His entire being. Amen? If He wasn't, guess what? He wouldn't have made us and put up with us after He's seen how stupid we were. Amen? But He's love. But if we don't know Jesus, we'll burn forever. We will burn in hell forever. How long is forever? Wow, that's a long time, ain't it? The other word is called what? Eternity. That's the same thing as forever. But I don't know about you, that seems a little bit longer, don't it? Eternity seems longer than forever. But whichever one you want to use, if you don't know Jesus when you leave this world, that's where you're going, is the hell and the burn forever. Where the worms never die. They're always on you. Amen. The heat cannot be quenched from your tongue. Amen. That don't sound loving, does it? That don't sound like a loving God. But He is, isn't He? God is love. But if heaven's real, we know that also means the devil's real, don't it? We got to convince ourselves and others to truly turn away from the sins in the world that Satan wants us to live in. Our goal should be to convince everybody. Amen? Sometimes we have to convince ourselves first, don't we? Before we can convince anybody else. Even if we've been saved for a long time, we might still have to convince ourselves a little bit more that hell is truly real. Because if we don't, if we're not real with them, if we're not convinced enough, guess what? Whoever we're trying to tell about death, hell, and damnation is not going to take us seriously. Amen. They're just going to blow us off like Satan has them lied to right now and fooled right now. Amen. We got to live how Jesus would live. We got to live with a Christian walk into us. We can't live like the world and justify sin. We got a lot of churches right now that are justifying sin in their pulpits, in their leaderships, in their congregations, because they're just like hell. They don't want to say anything. They don't want to tick anybody off. They don't want to make them mad because they might not come back next Wednesday or Sunday. Amen? But a lot of them have truly rejected Jesus. And they have no fear of God when they do that. They have no idea of what's going to happen when they go out of the world without that relationship with Jesus. They have ridiculously self-centered lives. How many of y'all know people like that? How many, hey, wait a minute. How many of y'all know Christians can still be self-centered sometimes? We can still live self-centered lives. Amen? But they're craving comfort. They're craving comfort. They're not craving eternity because God's got us fooled. Because Satan has us fooled down here that we can have more fun and we ain't got to worry about eternity. Amen? They're rejecting the sacrifice of Jesus' blood on the cross, thinking that they're going to avoid prosecution at the end time. They're loving the world that they're living in. How many of y'all know people that Satan's got fooled like that? How many of y'all know Christian friends that you had in church that Satan has changed and got them fooled like that? They think they're okay, and they're not anymore. They need to be reminded of hell. Amen? We need to tell them that hell truly is a subject found not just in one place, but throughout the entire Bible. Amen? It is found out in through the entire Bible. And interestingly, one person that talked about it the most, y'all might know him. Hopefully you do know him. His name is Jesus. He was the most loving person on earth, wasn't he? And he talked about hell. He talked about hell. But Jesus wasn't like an angry street preacher, was he? He went up in somebody's face, "You're going to hell from here for that sin in your house." I don't know if he yelled about like that back then. It's all right to preach like that, but sometimes you need to be the loving side that Jesus was. Jesus didn't want people to go to hell, did he? He didn't want them to go to hell, but again, he wasn't like an angry street preacher. In Matthew 5:29, it says this: "If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out. Throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than your whole body to be thrown into where? Hell." Whew. That's some toe stomping right there. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out. How many of us would probably gouge our eye out right now? Because our eye still causes us to stumble. Amen? The word hell in Matthew chapter 5 is translated from the Greek word, I'll get one of these words right, called Gehenna. Gehenna. And Gehenna is a noun. It actually came from the original Latin. The Greek was Gehenna. And it literally translated into the Valley of Hinnom, when that was symbolic of hell. In the Old Testament, the Valley of Jerusalem, or below Jerusalem, where children were sacrificed, and where idolatry was practiced, and where later offal and refuse were slowly burned. That was Gehenna. In the New Testament, Judaism is a place where the wicked are punished after death, and a place of or state of pain or torment. That's pretty harsh, ain't it? That is pretty harsh. But that's where the word hell originally transfers. Gehenna refers to the actual place in the southwest corner of the city of Jerusalem. known as the Valley of Ben Hinnom. Centuries before Jesus, evil King Ahaz worshiped false gods. Moloch had child sacrifices. I'll get that out in a second. They performed child sacrifices on that spot. Jeremiah 7:31 says this: they have built the high places of Topheth in the Valley of Ben Hinnom to burn their sons and daughters in the fire. Whew. I'm glad we quit having sacrifices, because I don't think I'd like burning our sons and daughters or our friends and family. Amen. Notice that even today, we won't see any homes or businesses in the valley. People believe the valley was cursed. They believed that it was cut off from God. Because of history, the valley became nasty, a garbage dump, a refuge burning place, where dead animals, human waste, sewage, bodies of executed criminals. I'd say that place probably smelled horrendous, didn't it? I'd say it stuck to the high heavens. Amen. Smoldering fire that never burned out. It always burned. Whew, that sounds like hell, don't it? That sounds exactly what God tells us hell's going to be like.
Amen.
Eternal burning. Eternal fire. So you can imagine that we're going to get those nasty smells, those nasty tastes. Amen. A land no more. No place where they could have beauty. No place where they could laugh. No place where they could have peace, where they could have friends, where they have joy, hope. No chances in that land. Amen. So when Jesus talked of hell, he wasn't talking of a dungeon, was he? Or a torture chamber. He's talking much worse, wasn't he? A place cut off from everything good. A place cut off from God's presence. I don't know about you. I'm glad I got God's presence in my life.
Amen.
How about you? What is heaven? Heaven is the presence of God. It has God's presence. Amen. Hell, just the opposite. The absence of God. The lack of God's presence. Torment forever. Amen. So why do you think it's hell? Why do you think it's hell? Hell exists for God to righteously punish Satan. That's why it was invented, for to righteously punish Satan. You know, Satan, that dude that people dress up like is on Halloween and run around in a little red costume. That harmless little dude, ain't he? Harmless little dude in his red suit, just jumping around, a little imp. Got a pitchfork, got horns, but he's the embodiment of evil. Amen? Satan is the embodiment of evil. Satan is truly why God made hell. Because here's the thing. Here's what all Satan's behind. He's behind every addiction. He's behind every abuse. He's behind every fear. What? Yeah, fear don't come from God. Amen. Fear comes from Satan. Satan's behind every pain. Satan's behind every shame that we've ever done. Amen. Satan's behind every sin that we ever committed and continue to commit today. Amen. Satan is the destroyer, the deceiver, the dark angel, the accuser. He don't sound like no harmless dude, does he? That we picture him as. He's the tempter, the wicked one, the thief, the father of lies. Amen. He'll steal our joy. He'll kill our faith. He'll destroy our health. He'll ruin our finances. Amen. He'll obliterate our marriage. He'll destroy our kids. Amen. Revelation 20:10 says this. And the devil, who deceived them, was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. They will be tormented day and night. For how long?
Ever
and ever. Woo! That means ever. A long time, don't it? Eternity. Forever. They will be tormented. That's what hell was invented for. But guess what? If we don't accept Jesus and that relationship with Him, we're going to be right there with Satan. We're going to be right there with the beast, burning in that sulfur. Amen. And the next verse really feels challenging, especially in the culture that we're living in today. It talks about our sins. But we prefer God look the other way, don't we? When we start committing those little things that we think are little, hey, God, every sin to God is the same size. Amen? Every sin to God is big. But we try to downplay it, don't we, when it comes to our sins. God give you, he give you a little wing down from heaven. Ain't no big deal. Amen? That me universe and society that we live in, what do they say, you do, you boo, or something like that. That's how Satan tries to get us forward, ain't it? That's how Satan tries to get us forward. But it's impossible for God to be holy, to be loving, to care for us without being just. If we're wrong, we need to be justified and corrected, don't we? We need to be in line with what God tells us and not what we think God tells us. Amen? Hell exists for God to righteously punish Satan. Hell also exists for God to righteously punish evil. Those without Jesus. Those that don't accept Him as their Lord and Savior. Amen? 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 8 and 9 says this. He, being God, will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting, how long? Everlasting destruction. And shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His might. They will be sent the same place Satan being sent. In other words, amen? If they never accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior like we have. Amen? If they don't accept the reality of hell, if they let Satan blind their eyes and lie to them and tell them it ain't really real, it's all right, you do you boo. They're going to find out in the end, aren't they? That they're being rightfully and righteously punished because they never accepted God's love that He sent for us. They never accepted the depth of God's grace dying on that cross for us, the blood that was shed for us. Amen? Jesus told a parable about a voice from hell. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and he lived in luxury every day. Purple. Purple meant royalty back then, didn't it? A rich man. Purple was made by infusing rare and expensive dyes together in their clothes. Amen? That amount that it would have cost to dye that guy's outfit would have fed a person for a whole year. Probably would still feed a person for a whole year today. Amen? Luke 16:19-21 says this. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. Whew. It's kind of hard, ain't it? The rich man probably wash his hands in the bread that they were eating at that time. But he wouldn't even throw crumbs out for him, would he? He wouldn't even throw crumbs out for him. And Luke 16:22-24 says, the time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried where? In Hades. Another word for what? Hell. Amen. Another word for hell. Where he, the rich man, was in torment. He looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me. Sorry. Father Abraham, have pity on me. Send Lazarus, who he wouldn't give a crumb to, send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water to cool my tongue. Because I am in agony in this fire. Hey, I'm going to tell you right now, if we go out here without knowing Jesus, we're going to be in agony for the rest of our life. In that same fire that rich man's in. Amen? But guess what? He's in agony there because it's a place of the dead. It's a place of punishment. And now the emotional part of that story. Luke 16:27-28 says, then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family. For I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment. So the rich man realized how big a mistake he made. And being stuck in Hades, in hell, rather than in eternity in heaven. He realized it enough that he didn't want his family to suffer that same fate. Amen. I hope we realize enough that we don't want our families to suffer that same fate. Amen. So here's, I give you four quick lessons from the other side, from the rich man. The rich man was fully conscious and aware. Amen. He felt the torment. It wasn't just like a dream. It was reality. Amen. He had his memory of others. He knew he was hurting. And he had massive regret. Amen. If he didn't, he wouldn't have told him to go warn his brothers. The man knew that his suffering was just. He knew that he chose the wrong path. So God justly put him in a place of suffering. A place of punishment for eternity. Amen. He complained about the pain, but he never complained about the injustice of it, did he? He complained about the pain he was going through and the torment that he was going through, but he never once said God had placed him there unjustly. He knew what happened. And what would happen to his brothers if they didn't trust Jesus. Amen. The rich man begged and he pleaded for somebody to help his family, to help his brothers know the person that he failed to recognize. And that's Jesus. Amen. The devil will try to convince us that hell ain't real, to not take it seriously, to live however we want. Amen. The devil will try to convince us to justify whatever sins we might be taking in or watching. He'll also try to convince us not to fear God. Don't worry about it. He ain't going to hurt you. I'll take care of you. How many of y'all had Satan tell you that? Amen. How many of y'all know Satan still try to tell you that even after we got that relationship with Jesus? Amen. He'll try to convince us that we have a craving for comfort. We'll reject the sacrifice that Jesus did. That if we reject it, he'll try to convince us that we're avoiding the persecution, the place of punishment. He'll try to convince us that it's okay to love the world. Amen. When God tells us don't love it. When God tells us to love Him, love Jesus, love the relationship with Him. It's not fair. Good people go to hell. It's not good, is it? Romans 3:23 says, for all, everybody say all.
All.
For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Ooh, guess what? That kind of takes care of that last one. No, not being fair. Sorry. It's not fair. But it is, because we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Amen. We've all lied. We've all stolen something.
Amen.
We've all been lustful. Amen. We've all been caught in all three of those. We may even be as far as being an adulterer. We may have crossed the line. Amen. Not only thought about it, but actually did it. But God is holy and just, isn't He? And because He is just, He must punish us when we commit sins. Amen. He must punish us, no matter what they might be. No matter how small we might think they are. Not just, but God is love, isn't He? Sorry. Romans 5:8-9, New Living Translation says it this way. But God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners.
Yes.
And since we have been made what? Right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, He will certainly save us from God's condemnation. Amen. God knows us, but He is just. He is right. But He gives us a way of getting out when we mess up. When we turn Ronnie mode, or me mode, or you do you boo mode, He gives us a way back out, don't He? Because Jesus' death on the cross paid price for each one of our sins. Amen? For each one of our sins. In Romans 3:23, Jesus' death on the cross paid for that. It satisfied God's justice, displayed His amazing grace and mercy to us, and unquenchable love towards each one of us. Amen? He didn't come for the righteous, did He? He came for us sinners. He came for you. He came for me. 2 Peter 3:9 says this. The Lord is not shown, or slow, I'm sorry. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish. Who? Anybody. Nobody. Nothing. Not a single person does God want to perish, does He? But everybody to come to repentance through Jesus Christ with Him. Amen. A loving God doesn't send us to hell, does He? A loving God wants to save us from it. But if we go, it's going to be our own fault. It's going to be because we messed up and turned our back on Him. Because He's given us the way out on the blood of the cross. Amen? He wants to save us. The devil came to steal, kill, and destroy each one of us. But our God Jesus came for life. And life everlasting and more abundantly. Amen? Do we want to know Jesus? Not just to avoid hell. Do we want to know Jesus? For eternal life. For goodness. For grace. For love. To change our world and our perspective around. We have to know that hell does truly exist. And we have to be willing that when Satan comes and tries to fool us, and he will each and every day that we're walking on this earth, we have to be able to tell him, look, I ain't like some church people. I know hell's for real, and you are not getting me out of it. Amen. As I come for a final song, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord again, I thank you for getting Ronnie out of the way, Lord. Lord, I thank you for your word spoken in the message and not mine, Lord. Lord, I thank you for the blessing in your message today, Lord. Even though sometimes churches don't preach it anymore, Lord, we know that as a loving God, you do have to be just sometimes, Lord. Lord, we ask that we be willing to stand out from the Satan, Lord, and the world as it's going right now, Lord. Lord, that we would be a voice for you, Lord, and a voice to truly tell that hell is real, Lord. That if it's in your Bible, Lord, multiple times, Lord, that it's surely a place that the devil's trying to lie to him that don't exist, Lord. Lord, we ask that you put somebody in front of us this week, Lord, that we can tell about the mercy, the grace, the saving knowledge that you give us, Lord, the undying, unquenching love, Lord, when we accepted you as our Savior and Jesus died on the cross for us, Lord. Lord, we thank you for each and everything that you do. In your name I pray.